So here I am on the corner of Cuba Street and Vivian, and there's a green drag queen telling me I can walk across Cuba Street if I'd like to. However, I'm going to turn left and head towards the city. This is an area where I'd often come during my wild years before I settled down and became a dad. I would go to the espresso bar, Midnight Espresso, and knock myself out with a hot chocolate. Yep, those were wild years. But I wasn't really paying that much attention to the building next to Midnight Espresso, S&M's. I assumed, because of the clientele, that it might be some sort of gay-friendly bar. Well, it is. It belongs to Scotty and Mel's. I think I went in here once, but generally it was just a little bit too racy for me, even in my wild years. However, it is a Wellington institution, and very soon Scotty and Mel are moving on. So we thought it might be a good idea to go and visit them. So I'm just going to open this door and go into a whole new world. You can tell it's a new world because the music's changed. Hello, are you Scotty and Mel?
We are indeed.
Kia ora, I'm Brian.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
Likewise.
You.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome. So which one's Scotty and which one's Mel?
I'm Mel, that one there's Scotty.
I'm the blonde.
Okay.
He's the blonde.
Right. I was blonde too once.
Yeah.
Now I'm turning white.
Used to be a brunette.
Well, lovely to meet you. Have you got time for a little bit of a chat?
Oh, I think we can do that.
Shall we head down slightly away from who's playing at the moment? Donna Summer?
A little Donna Summer.
Yeah. You can, don't have to turn it off.
Just bring it down a bit.
Yeah, just down a little bit. How long have you guys had this bar?
This one, we're in our 14th year now. And it's been an exciting ride, I can assure you of that. It's been quite a fun ride. We've had lots of fun along the way.
Oh, God, yes.
Why have you decided to move on?
There's a couple of reasons for that. A combined 77 years in the business, we're getting older. The blonde's not going to stay forever. And
Is it still real blonde, is it?
It is. There's a little bit of silver in there.
Yeah.
That's getting...
Oh, well, that's fashionable, really.
I think so.
Yeah.
I suppose, in a way, it's kind of got a little bit to do with COVID. Not business-wise, because business has been great since COVID. But during the lockdown, we had 8 weeks locked up together in our little house, and we just had such a good time. Haven't laughed so much in the 29 years we've been together. It's such a good time, we just thought...
It's funny how COVID-19, the lockdown, was a bit of an eye-opener. For some people, it was a terribly stressful time. For some people, it was a lot of hard work. And for some people, it was like a revelation. They really enjoyed being at home. I don't know, are you two introverts, despite the fact you're in hospitality?
No, not at all. No, I wouldn't say that at all.
You're not extroverted introverts.
No.
You're extroverted extroverts.
Yeah, night owls. Part and parcel. Yeah.
But what was it about being at home?
I think it was relaxation time, really, of being and having that 8 weeks away of time out. And I think we really valued that time. And it just reminded us that, you know, in the long run, there comes a time in your life when you've got to do something for yourself, you know. And we enjoyed it so much. We're both getting older now. And there's a lot of New Zealand that we haven't seen. One of the most important factors, I think, also was... we've been to a lot of funerals lately, you know, people don't have weddings anymore.
Right.
And
you've reached that age.
Yeah, and people are starting to drop dead around you, you know, and it's been a bit of an eye-opener, and it's like we're getting older, now's the time to enjoy ourselves, while we've got time, you know, and not that there's anything wrong with us, we're fine, we're healthy, but it just gives you that self-realisation that there is time for yourself, you need to have that time for yourself.
Now, Scotty, you said, what, 77 years?
Yes.
Combined. Right. So you've said 14 years here, so I'm doing some rudimentary maths. That's 28 years, assuming you both worked here together for 14 years.
Yep, that's right.
Which means both of you came to this with a lot of hospo experience, together or separately?
Both, actually. I started back in, well, I was 16, to be honest, and started working at the Civic Tavern in Auckland. And... just loved it, fell in love with it, and then worked in bars throughout England and around different places around the world, and came back here, and then we met and Mel had been in the scene for a long time.
A long time, I think, for 43 years all up.
Where did you start up, Mel?
I started in the Merchant Navy.
Really?
And that was
you were a sailor?
Yeah, I was. And it was a fantastic life, really, really good life. I worked on the Rail Ferries, and I worked on my first ship was the Rangatira. And the old story, eventually you fall in love and meet somebody and you come ashore, and just next best thing was to get into hospo.
Was that you, Scotty?
Not then.
No, not then.
It was a few years later.
A few years later.
I think it was 15 years difference, so I... Yeah, it wouldn't have been wise for him to have found me then.
No.
Or legal, I guess.
No, it was
well, those
many
were the
years
days.
Later.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Worked at the Hotel St. George and numerous other bars around town. And I guess my forte was really working at the old Western Park Tavern, which was a fun place to work. And then I got sort of headhunted to go and manage a gay bar down in Wellington called the old Bamboo Bar. And I think that's where my life really began, working managing gay bars. It was absolutely fantastic fun. Met a really good range of people. And that's where we actually our paths first crossed, was in the Bamboo Bar.
First spotted you behind the bar flipping glasses. I'd just got back from England and was down here visiting some friends. Playing the Fishtails pinball you had there, if I remember rightly.
Oh, that's going back so long ago. It was Fishtails,
yeah. And looking at the barman thinking, It wasn't to know that it would, but probably about 2-3 years after that we actually
Do you
met.
Think he was a bit of all right?
I did. Right.
Yeah.
Can you remember?
No. Not a bit. I was too busy working.
Yeah,
I was too busy working. Just another customer. Yeah, it was indeed. But then we eventually I was in Auckland. I was up there for in the early 90s judging Mr. Gay New Zealand competition, and then that's when our paths crossed again. And,
what, were you one of the contestants?
No, I was one that was,
no, he was
sitting
avoiding
the,
them.
Sitting in the restaurant that they were eating in, and I'd leave, because I didn't, I was, it's a little different then, I guess you might say. I was a bit of a Westie.
Yeah, Scotty was a Westie, and it's amazing that how our paths crossed so many times. Scotty would, when he was living out west, when he was staying in town, he would go and stay with some mutual friends, which we didn't know we had mutual friends at that stage, and of course, they were saying to him, oh, look, you can't stay this weekend. We've got the judges from Wellington coming up for Mr. Gay New Zealand. So he'd move out of the room and I would move into it.
So you were in Scotty's bed before you were Scotty?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. 100%. totally. And then another night we had a meet the contestants night, so we all went out for dinner. And one of Scotty's regular haunts was...
Cafe Aloha Lo.
Yeah, in Mount Eden. And he was sitting in there having a few drinks, and they said, oh, we've got all the judges and the contestants from Mr. Gay New Zealand coming in tonight. And he went, I'm out of here. So he walked out. And
right. Why did you want to avoid handsome men?
I don't know.
Were you
know,
a Westie?
Really.
I mean, you were out by then, right?
Oh, yeah. But I was just, I don't know, I suppose I just kind of had my own scene, my own friends, and I really wasn't... Yeah, I was looking at going back overseas too, because I actually lined up a job in Melbourne and I was planning on heading over there. And then we met and I did go there, but I handed him a notice the day I arrived and flew back.
Yeah, he was only gone 2 weeks and rang me up and said, I miss you. And I mean, I miss you too. And he said, I think I'm coming home. And I said, well, come on. And we've been together ever since.
The worst thing I remember, I'll never forget sitting on the plane, because I hitched down to Wellington, this is after we'd met, just to say goodbye and tell him I was off. And flew from Wellington and jumped on the plane and the movie started. And that's when you didn't have all the, you know, your own seat movies and things. And the one movie started and it was Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I cried all the way to Sydney and then got to Melbourne where the job was and left.
Thank God it wasn't Love Actually.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You would never have come back.
I'm glad he did. Yeah. So then we sort of started working bars. Once he came back, we were both managing different bars. Scotty was managing Kitty O'Shea's down in... it was originally in
Manor Street. And then moved to Courtney Place.
Yeah.
And then I left there and went to Molly's for a little while, and then went and worked in the bar next door to the one Mel was in. He was in Bojangles, and I worked in Barney's.
Yeah, so we managed those for a few bars, for a few years, rather. And then we got to the idea, you know, why are we doing this? We're both very good at what we're doing. Why aren't we doing it for ourselves? So that's when our life in hospo actually started together.
And that was in 99.
That was in 99, and that was which was the old public toilets down in Kent and Cambridge Terrace, which is now the Welsh Dragon Bar.
Okay.
And we did that in 99-2000, stripped it all down.
You did it up?
Yeah, we did it all up, yeah.
Lots of help from the community. We had so many friends in there, stripping paint, peeling, painting, doing sanding, everything.
It was an amazing place, actually. There's the old Remu arches in there. Like we stripped it all back and took it back to as much as original as we could. And there's some beautiful Remu arches in like 17 layers of paint. So it was hard work doing taking it all back, stripping it all back to the original tiles. And of course, with it being an old public toilet, it used to be an old cruising area for the gay community many, many years back. And you could still, as you were sanding it down, you could still see messages that were left in the Remu. People had left notes in the Remu there. So it was a bit of an education along the way as well.
Well, when I first see, I thought the whole thing about, this is back before homosexual or before. I thought the whole thing about gays and public toilets was just anti-gay propaganda. Until my gay brother told me, no, we do sometimes meet each other in public toilets, and which I thought was a bit strange. But he said, it's not just for sex, it's also a network. You know, networks, how are you kind of...
Well, there was no...
It was, it was more than
there's
just...
There's no gay bars or gay nightclubs in
those
days.
Couldn't legally meet anyone, apart from, I think, the only... What advertising that was done was in the truth paper.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no Grindr.
Which ironically didn't last.
Yeah, exactly. That's a bit dangerous, putting anything in truth anyway.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, oh, it was always good for a read if you wanted to know the gossip and scandal around town. It was always good.
Yeah, true. It's
great.
It was fun.
So people were, helping you restore this and thinking, I met my boyfriend here.
Yeah. possibly. It was. When you think about that, it possibly did happen. So we did that we had that just for about a year, didn't we?
Yeah, we
and
got
then we got caught up with some
unfortunate business partners.
Yeah, who had different avenues. So we actually literally sold the venue for a dollar and left
that's not a lot of capital for your next venture.
No, it wasn't. No. But we found another business partner. And that's when Pound, the nightclub, began.
Right.
And that was 6 years of absolute fun.
Amazing place. We had so much fun there. 6 years, I mean, it was back in the day when you could go till 5 a.m. There was smoking in bars.
Do you miss smoking in bars?
Not at all.
What did you think at the time? Do you think this is ridiculous? Nanny state
business? To be honest, the worst thing, and you've got to remember, this was a nightclub that had 700 people in at any one point. And once the smoking stopped, all you could get was, and sorry to say it, but BO and sweat.
And flatulence.
So we had to...
I've never really thought of it that way.
Oh, it's true.
It was amazing what the cigarette smoke used to
hide. For the dance floor, we had to run around and find some apple-scented smoke for the smoke machine to cover up all the aromas.
Is that why we got more smoke machines than dance floors?
Exactly,
smoking.
And the hardest part was... All the people that were still smoking were down on the street because there wasn't a smoking area.
It was a great way to meet people.
Well, totally. But, you know, you'd find out half the nightclub would be down on the footpath, even the people that didn't smoke.
Yeah, which is no good for you.
Exactly.
You're not making money at the bar that way, are you?
What are you doing down here? You don't even smoke. I know, but this is where the party is these days, you know. It was fantastic. It was a good ride. Very, very good ride.
However, you didn't have the stink of stale smoke in your clothes anymore.
That's
I did not miss that.
The smoking law was a great move, actually. Initially, it was hard, but nowadays I'd hate to go back. That would just be horrible.
I think one of the funniest points too was a very good friend of ours, and I think very well known celebrity, Georgina Beyer. And it was the night after the non-smoking rule had come into bars, and you couldn't smoke in bars. And Georgina popped into the bar and sat down at the bar and lit up a cigarette and. Where's all your ashtrays? Well, we don't have them anymore. Your party stopped them, remember? Last night, you're the first one to break the rule. So we were actually going to collect the cigarette butt with her lipstick on it and get it framed and keep it as a memento for on the wall. We should have done that.
I reckon you could have sold that for a lot of money in an auction.
Exactly, totally. No, it was a good time. It was a good fun. And then we did Pound for 6 years, and it was electrifying. It was really, really good. But it did take its toll. It was 6 days a week, and it was you'd go to work with your sunglasses on, and, of course, you finished at 5 a.m. By the time you got restocked and resettled and sat down and had a staff drink with the staff, then it was daylight, and it was time to go home with your sunglasses on. So it sort of was a good indication that maybe this is the time that we should sort of, like, get out of this and do something a little bit different.
And that was this, Scotty Mountain. No, there was another thing before here?
Yeah, we wanted to take some time out, and we did that for a little while, had a little bit of a holiday, and then a friend of ours was helping this group set up the Lanes Bowling Lounge, and he asked us to come along and give him a hand.
Really? You into 10-pin bowling?
We are now.
Yeah.
when you get to play for free.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We did, you know, painting and all that kind of thing and just relaxing.
Just generally lugging things in and putting carpet tiles down, helping to whatever needed to be done.
And then
a jack of all trades, I mean, you could say in those days.
Oh, yeah. And then he said to us, do you guys, you're not doing anything, do you want to stay on for a bit? So we kind of made the rules that we only worked the same shifts and didn't do weekends and did day shift. And absolutely loved it. Mel was in the kitchen, I was on the bar.
It's great, I loved it. I got to experience with some great chefs. It was fantastic.
We had a ball there. We stayed there for 13 months.
So to speak.
And and did a lot of bowling.
Yeah.
And then we just decided, it's time to do something else. And this venue was the Buena Vista Social Club at that time, which John McGrath had. And he was in a bit of trouble and asked us to come along and manage it. And we said, well, we'll do that, but the name's got to change. And S&M's was born.
Yeah.
And about, I think about 8 months later, we bought it off him.
Yeah, it could have been a little bit longer.
Maybe a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we went, this is working, let's go, you know, full hog and do it.
Yeah, and 14 years later, here we are.
Always been a rainbow-friendly bar.
Oh,
totally.
100%. Right from the start.
100%, yeah.
We're very mixed, but we like it that way. And if people don't like that, then our attitude is there's the door. You came in it, you know, and it's like... But most people that come through, I'd say 99.9%, just enjoy the atmosphere and it's just friendly. It's just a nice place to go.
I think it's one of those cross-sections, as you mentioned earlier on about homosexual law reform. I think as a gay community, all we really, really wanted was to be treated the same, to be treated equal. And now we've got that. You know, you've got to remember, previous to 85, 86, you could still go to jail for 7 years for having consensual sex with another member of the same sex. That all changed when homosexual law reform went through and it became more prevalent. People were accepting of it. And it's really it changed the way society thinks about people. Nothing's caved in. Life still goes on, everybody's having a good time, and the straight community have taken that on board and they come in and they enjoy the space that the gay and lesbian communities provide. It's good.
Is it always, though, like I'm thinking about the changes and the acceptance now of the rainbow community, but if you're outside of a big town, how many people come here and have moved from, say, provincial New Zealand and... or a smaller town or the country, and this is something they can't get. It's actually still something which
we
they have
still
to seek
see
out.
That quite a lot. We see, like, even I can't remember his name offhand, but there's a farmer that comes down from up north somewhere. I won't say where because I don't want to out anyone.
No,
but comes down. And he comes in, books into a hotel for the weekend. He comes in here, and the first time he came in, he got stopped by security because he was wearing gumboots, and. He said, well, they're my best gumboots. And they were his best gumboots. They're nice white ones.
Yeah, but he said
to us, literally, that's what he owns. So we're like, well, you know, it's not what you're wearing, it's what's in your heart. So you're more than welcome in here.
I think it's the old adage. It's not about what's on the outside, it's about what's on the inside. If you're a good person and come on board, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And that's how I think most people take it these days. You know, it's the old story, never judge a book by its cover. Maybe wearing gumboots, but he's got a bloody gold heart, you know. Fantastic man. Good friend.
And then lots of fun in here. We've had lots of laughs with them, actually.
Yeah.
Really cool guy. And there's a lot like that from out of town that, that you like you say, they can't be out where they are, so they do go to the bigger cities. And it's a bit scary for some of them at first, but I think that's why we've always been quite good, because we always meet new people and welcome them and we give a bit of advice, if you like, and... Yeah,
we get our regulars. Like we still get a lot of people that come from out of town. I think since our time here, we've built up quite a good reputation. We've got a pretty good line of top line cocktails, and we've got a bunch of guys that always come down for the cricket at the Basin Reserve. When the Basin's over, they storm down to the bar here, and it's like, oh my God, he's still doing the caramel cream. Yes, we're still doing the caramel cream. So we've built up a bit of a reputation around the country with for people from out of town. It's great to see them coming back. With people coming back as far away as Dunedin and Invercargill. Bought some of the artworks. We've had art exhibitions in here as well.
Yeah.
We've built up a fairly good rapport with regulars from out of town, couples that have come in here. Even when we had Pound, two women that were going, you know, do you realise it was 20 years ago we got together and it was in your old nightclub, and if it hadn't been for that nightclub, we probably never would have met.
It's been a lot.
So there's some lots of good stories.
Yeah.
Do you have to? Is alcohol an essential social lubricant? Can you have a good time here and be a teetotaler?
We have quite a few people that come in here and don't drink.
Yeah.
They support the bar by having an orange juice. Or, in fact...
Non-alcoholic cocktails.
Yeah, there's one customer. He stopped drinking about probably 8 or 9 years ago. And this is what I like about the clientele. Is this particular man has been drinking in our bars for, I'd say, over 20 years. He's regular as clockwork, 7:30 Friday and Saturday night, and he has one drink. That's it. That's his, whether that's his budget for the week or just what he likes to do. But he comes in, spends a couple of hours, lovely, lovely guy. But he's been doing that for over 20 years. That's a great customer. He may not spend much, but over 20 years, it's you know, it's what you need. It's necessary.
Yeah, and it's also where our friend could probably... you meet people of the same ilk. You know, it's not just about getting on the alcohol. You actually go down there and meet up with friends and have a good chat and catch up. It's an amazing space.
Are you selling this as a going concern?
Totally.
Yeah. We're trying to find the right people that will take it over and keep it LGBTQI plus friendly and also mixed, you know, so everyone's welcome. And ideally, keep it going in the same vein. Obviously, they have to put their own touch on it and obviously change the name because, you know, they can keep S&Ms, but... Scotty and Mel, well...
That has to go,
because we're not here.
Yeah.
So it's going to be... We're going to be very, very sad when it finally comes, and we're thinking maybe a couple of months away, who knows. But it's time. It's time for us to spend some time together.
You know? Yeah, I think we've been doing this for so long. We've got two very, very good friends, and one of them's just been through a very dramatic spell of cancer, and... thank goodness just got basically an all clear last week. And it's when you see your friends around you that are passing on or going through these times, it makes you realise just how valuable life really is. And that, I think, has been a little bit of enforcing about what direction we want to go in. And people said, do it, you're not going to regret it, and do it while you're still relatively young and have got time to do it. And I think that's been one of the main causes of us sort of like deciding, well, maybe now's the time.
What plans have you got on the home front, by the way?
Oh, well, what we're planning on doing is we've met a wide range of people from right around New Zealand and, in fact, overseas. But we've decided that we're going to put everything into storage and hit the road. We're going to buy a motorhome.
You're going to buy a bus?
A motorhome.
Go to the desert.
Motorhome, yeah.
No, I think
we've done the
Priscilla
thing. Yeah, buses rust, motorhome stuff.
Fiberglass doesn't.
Yeah. So. You just have a look around and look for the right wagon, you know, and you've got your ideas of what your motorhome should have for you. And let's go and visit those friends in faraway places. Let's go and experience those beautiful parts of New Zealand that we actually haven't seen. No, the North Island at the back of our hand, but in South Island, perhaps Nelson, Blenheim, Christchurch, Timaru. That's about it. There's a lot more to the South Island.
My father did it some time ago. Still got the bus, but him and his missus bought a bus, and they rang us up and said they were coming down to visit, and we have room to park the bus. We moved twice before they got here, because it took them 2 years to drive from Auckland to Wellington. They just loved it so much. I'd ring up, and you know, they'd say, you know, whereabouts are you? And they'd say, well, you know, we were like last month. And yeah, so we're about 200 metres down the road, because we found another spot we liked. So
that's what we want to do. That's what's out there. And there's two fabulous women decided to pack up their home, and they bought a massive big bus, and they're doing exactly what we're wanting to do. And they've started up a fabulous website called The Rainbow Road.
It's on Facebook.
And it's only been going a couple of months, but it's got 562 members already. So there's a lot of other people out there doing exactly what we want to do, and I can't think of anything better than meeting our... other family out on the road. It's going to be exciting.
You find out where people are going to be. You follow different festivals and things around, and like Ironman and Taupo, it's one not to miss. You know, and things like that. Catch up, meet people
all
along the way.
Strongly built
and yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. And there's also the AMP shows.
Well, we can still window shop.
Yeah, know. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with the window shopping.
Scotty and Mal, Queens of the High Country.
That's going to be it, I think, yeah. We're looking forward to it. Yeah, and I think our plans are to do like summer in the South Island and head to the winterless north for winter.
Oh, yeah. You know, they call them grey nomads in Australia.
Oh, yes, but they're Australians.
Yeah, maybe gay nomads.
Gay nomads, well, I think there's a big set of gay wheelers out there in Australia as well. Two very good friends of ours are actually doing the same thing at the moment around Australia.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely having, and we're keeping up to date with them on Facebook, and they're having an absolute ball of the time. You know, and that's what's out there. You know, it's not all about... get out of your comfort zone. You've got to throw caution to the wind sooner or later. And that's what we've decided to do.
We don't know how long that'll last. I think maybe we can... I'm envisaging 2-3 years at minimum.
Yeah.
But, you know, down the track, who knows what we might do. We might get over that idea and, you know, come back to Wellington.
Might get back into hospital again eventually. May not. We're getting a bit too old for that for myself, but Scotty could. I mean, what's wrong with a gay guest house, you know, or a retirement village for gay people? You know, there's plenty of avenues out there. Yeah, there's plenty to do.
Scotty, Mel, thank you very much for joining me. Well, at least thank you very much for inviting me into your place.
Pleasure.
Well, thank you. Yours.
Welcome anytime. Pleasure.
All the very best for your adventures.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers, Brian. Very appreciated.